So I see a lot of podcasters do that. They create tons and tons of content that doesn't add up to anything. It's all awesome content, but there's no strategy behind what is the overall goal. You know, what are the one or two offers, quote unquote, products or services that you can offer to that group of people that have just gotten into your environment that is going to be the sort of end result of all this effort that you're doing.
That's business builder, podcaster, and professional carpenter, Camille Finan. And on this week's episode, she breaks down what a simple sales funnel looks like, how to create a business plan for your podcast, and the details on private podcasts. What are those? Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you've had a good week. Mine has been a little bit crazy, super busy, but there's a lot of positive stuff happening and I'm really happy about that. So I hope that you're doing really well with whatever is going on in your life, and I'm just sending good vibes your way. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If this is your first time joining the show, again, my name is Christine O'Donnell. I'm a longtime TV news reporter and journalist turned podcaster, and I've been podcasting and coaching podcasters for the past 2.5 years. I've had so much fun doing it. And here on this podcast, we talk about how to launch a podcast, grow your podcast, and turn that into a brand and business if that's something you're interested in. Also, if you have been podcasting for a little while now, we talk about ways to stay motivated. Sometimes that can be tricky and tough, and every podcaster faces it. So we talk about that here as well. So I'm so excited for this episode. It is filled with the golden nuggets, information that every podcaster who wants to build a business out of their show should be listening to right now. So if you're someone and you're like, oh, I really want to figure out how to monetize, I really love podcasting, but why am I spending all this time doing this if I'm not making any money from doing it and I can only keep doing it for so long because of that, and then you start to get stressed about it, this is the podcast for you, especially if you think you might have some mindset challenges around making money. So what I mean like that about that is, if you're anything like me, and you are more content driven and you love telling stories, but get a little bit stuck when you think about how to make money from that, and perhaps you even feel a little bit of guilt or you feel uncomfortable by the idea, I feel you, and I have had all sorts of challenges in regards to building a business as well. And frankly, asking for what I'm worth. And one of the people who has helped me change that is the person joining me for today's episode. She is a friend, she's a mentor, and someone who always gives it to me straight, even when I don't want to hear it. Her name is Camille Finan. She is a professional carpenter, a businesswoman, and the host of the Remodel Your Life podcast. And in this week's episode, she literally is sharing the keys to the kingdom. So grab a pen and paper and get ready to take notes. I am serious, guys. But before we get started, I do want to share an opportunity for our listeners. So if you like what you hear today in this episode, I want to let you know that this October 24th and 25th, Camille is hosting a free virtual summit on how to build a more profitable business while working with your hands. Remember, she's a carpenter. And I'll actually be hosting a training with her during that virtual summit. And for more information on that, head to remodelyourlifepodcast.com. I'll be adding a link to the show notes so you can just scroll down and click into that website after the episode is over if you do like what you hear. So without further ado, I'm going to dive into the conversation that Camille and I had. And this picks up right as we're talking about business mindset and how to actually shift your thinking so you're thinking more like a business person.
And then I work backwards into the podcast and I think through what episodes are going to be helpful. How do I tie that to my marketing? So if, you know, for me, that is the business mindset. Like I go into it thinking, how could this be a business? And can I write on a piece of paper very simply, how could each episode tie together with some sort of a product or a service or group coaching or DIY product or something? And, so my mind is always thinking of that. For your listeners, you know, if you're not sure if a podcast can be a business, really it comes down to what are the pain points of your audience? That's the first thing I look at. So, you know, if you're like, give me an example of maybe one of the listeners of this show, like someone that would be listening, like their industry.
So female entrepreneurs.
Okay. And so, but what would they be, what's the specific industry they're in? Like gardening, right? Let's say someone's doing a gardening podcast. I'm immediately going to be thinking of what are some of the pain points of my listeners and what small, I always start small personally when it comes to business mindset. I always think of the least smallest product I could sell, the fastest thing I can create. So that's what I do. I'm not sure if that answers the question, but that's how I sort of figure it out on a very basic level. Does that answer the question or you have like a, you know, even more generic than just general business mindset?
Well, let's see if I can be more specific. So say someone has had something. Here, I'll give you an example of someone who I just started working with. And she is, we'll call her Jay. And Jay is really into environmentalism. And she has a small business already. And she sells eco-friendly products to encourage eco-friendly lifestyles and to make the planet a better place for everyone. So she wants to make a big impact using her voice with her podcast. She has this like personal message that's on her heart. She launched a business about it, and now she wants to use podcasting as one more tool to share her message, but also to have it be like part of a way to bring people into her funnel. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's backing up a little bit and explaining to people what a funnel even is, because when I didn't know what that was like my whole career as a TV journalist.
Yeah. Like what a sales funnel is.
Yeah.
What I would consider an automated sales funnel. And so that is the, so visualize, like, so I do, you know, personal coaching on the side for this stuff. And one of the first things I always have my students do or clients do is visualize like a regular website, maybe the prettiest website they've ever seen. It's gorgeous. They love it. And what I visualize that most people don't know is that most of the traffic that goes to that beautiful page just goes absolutely nowhere. It might look great. It might be very well organized, but there's no real business strategy behind it. And so all the traffic that comes there, including your podcast website, doesn't actually funnel anybody to something to buy that's specifically tied to the pain point of the person going there. So it seems kind of like basic common sense, but 90% of people don't even really think about it that way. So for me, a basic sales funnel is as simple as making sure that, well, one, like if someone's listening to an episode of your podcast and you're mentioning things, that you do a call out in the episode to send them somewhere to the website. And then you make sure that the thing you're sending them there is easy to find on the homepage. So at its basic level, that's a sales funnel. It's directing people towards purchasing something that you want them to purchase, ideally tied to a problem that they have already. So I think a lot of people that start a podcast and then maybe potentially are thinking, wow, how could I turn this into a business? The first thing is figure out the simplest funnel you can do, which I know we're not going to get into the specifics here, like the actual email and all that, but that's I mean, that's the basic. Does that explain what a sales funnel is to you?
Well, yeah.
So
this is so like, there was something that came up for me when you were talking about that, because I was a TV news reporter for over a decade, and I started to, towards the end of my career working in the TV news world, I started to feel like this shift, like in my heart. And what I mean by that is every single day I was going out and spending all of this time and energy, telling stories, and usually they were really tragic stories. Something awful happened. I was one of the first people on the scene talking to people when that thing happened. And my heart would always really go out to whoever I was talking to, and I would make these connections and they would stay with me. And then I would write this story and it would be on the, you know, maybe at the noon show, and then at the 4:30 and 5, and then maybe 6, and then maybe they'll repurpose it for 10. And then it's over.
And then it's gone.
Then it's gone the next day. And then I would do the same thing the next day and the same thing the next day. And I kept working so hard to create this content that I felt was so important to be shared. And I still feel like it's so important for journalists to go out and create content like that. But in my heart, I think I started to realize, like, I feel like I keep creating stuff, but what am I building?
Right.
If something were to happen to me, right? Because I keep seeing all of these awful things happen. If something were to happen to me, what is left? Like, what have I built? Mm-hmm. And it was always like, oh, this story for this station, or oh, this thing for someone else. And now it's gone and I'm on to something else. But what do I leave behind? And how does that serve me and my family and anyone else in my life? And I just kind of had this like empty feeling where I was like, I kept putting all of this time and energy into creating content, but it wasn't building to anything.
Right.
And to invest that much of myself in that every single day was kind of, I don't know. There was kind of just like a moment where I was like, I feel like something's missing and I don't know what the answer is.
Right.
And I feel like it took me a while to figure out what that could be. Mm-hmm. And the idea of like a personal brand started to pop up in my head, but I wasn't really sure if I believed in myself enough to do something like that. And so I think it's like that shift in mindset where you're creating content that actually builds to something, and content that can captures people's attention. But once you have their attention, you don't let go of them. They're in your funnel.
Yes.
So you can keep following up with them.
And so then the other side of that is people, then the next level of that is you might have a funnel, but the funnel doesn't go to anything. So you're able to start capturing people, meaning you're getting them on your email list, or, you know, you have a way of contacting them. And so you're technically capturing them, but you're not directing them towards something that solves a problem. So I see a lot of podcasters do that. They create tons and tons of content that doesn't add up to anything. It's all awesome content, but there's no strategy behind what is the overall goal. Is this to, you know, if you're going to try to make an income off of that, you know, what are the one or two offers, quote unquote, products or services that you can offer to that group of people that have just gotten into your environment that is going to be the sort of end result of all this effort that you're doing, right? So for instance, I'll do my kitchen remodeling one. So I took, and again, it took me many years of getting into podcasting and many years of learning these modern marketing techniques to really figure out this whole process. Like, I didn't just know it, you know, I did not know the first thing about funnels when I first started here. And so what I ended up working on was my very first one, which was for kitchen remodeling. And so I had all this amazing content around doing kitchens, right? I was a cabinet maker for 25 years and I worked specifically with women. And so I had this method that I had created, and I created a book around it. And then the next thing was to create a podcast. Well, originally when I wanted to do that podcast, I did the same mistake that most people do. I just did so many episodes and I just kept creating content. And then it was like, there was no way to get them to actually do anything. So then this was a little bit further in, about 2 years in, I finally realized, oh, I can create episodes around the pain points directly related to what I already knew. about those women because I'd already dealt with them in real life. So then I created this strategy of planning an entire year's worth of content directly for that woman, like as though I was talking to her in real life. Then I recorded all those episodes and attached products to the to that podcast. So that's a way of funneling an enormous amount of content around like one subject. But I knew the end result was to try to teach her something. And so that's why I sold a course around it. So that's, you know, that's the way that I did it. And so for the instance, this woman with the environmental thing, right, Jay, like she could create a product, a very small product, but she could start incorporating that within the episodes of her podcast. That would be the first thing I would do, like really think about. Yeah.
So let's back up and talk a little bit more about pain points. Mm-hmm. If anyone is listening and they're like, how do I find out what my audience's pain point is? And isn't that kind of mean to talk about the things that make them feel pain?
That's a good point. I forget because I've been in marketing for so long that I forget. That's not even doesn't have any emotion attached to it for me. But yeah, a pain, we all have pain points. It just means the pressure point that is that someone is sensitive to. And in marketing and sales, we all use them anyways. We all do it. Like it's nothing that's new, right? If you go to buy a car, the dealership guy is going to weave and get to know you a little bit. So he knows what your pain points are. He knows whether you have, you know, enough money for that car or not. He knows if you're doing it, you're struggling. He knows how many kids you have. Like at some point, if he's doing his job, he will realize where your pain points are, meaning the thing that you're the most sensitive to as a consumer. And then if he's doing a good job, he will present the offer towards that pain point. And so the question is, how do you find that out? Well, most people know inherently, like emotionally, what is driving their audience or their listeners. They just don't spend the time to actually think about it, right? Like if I had to think about Jay and the people that's listening to her, I don't know anything about environmentalism or any of that, but I do know that people that are sensitive to that are sensitive to things happening to the rivers and to mountains and stuff, right? That is something they're very sensitive to. So that is a pain point. And so I would be figuring out a way to leverage something they're sensitive to in my product. Does that answer that question? Like, how would I figure that out? I mean, I'm really good at doing it, so it's easy for me to figure that, right? Because I've been doing it a long time. So I'm trying to think, like, how did I learn how to do that? Mine are also really obvious, too. So, like, the ones I speak to or the things that I sell are really obvious pain points. So I'm not saying there's not... that there's not groups of customers that I would have to really spend some time talking to them about. In my case, mine are really obvious, right? Like kitchen remodeling, women are frustrated about their kitchens and typically it's because their husbands won't let them do it. So that's a pain point, right? That's something they're struggling with. They want to do a kitchen badly and they feel held back in a lot of ways. Or they feel confused about the contractor. They feel scared about how much money they're going to spend. Those are their pain points that I knew because I was a contractor. So, yeah.
Well, I'd love to actually talk a little bit more about what you do and and share that with people because it is so amazing how you're helping women kind of own how powerful and amazing they are when it comes to taking it upon themselves to remodel their own kitchen and their life.
Right. So do you mean the current podcast, the sort of passion project one? Yeah.
Yeah. But I would also like to talk about where you started, but let's talk about what you're doing now.
Okay. Well, so now I have a podcast that is its intention is not to make money, right? It's not to sell products. So it's truly a passion project. Yes. And it's called Remodel Your Life. And it's me interviewing women in the construction and skilled trades and really trying to grow the industry and show how much money women make in the trades. Most people don't realize how much money we make. And everybody thinks that, you know, carpenters make $40,000 and they have no idea that I've made millions doing it. So, that's my goal, is to basically just show the variety of amazing things you can do with your hands and your mind, and also just highlight the incredible women that are doing it right now. So I retired last year to focus on that podcast and create a platform around it to just get it in front of just regular folks. In the industry, it's pretty common that we all know about each other, but outside of the industry, a lot of people, regular parents, just don't really see what's going on. So that's my problem to solve, right? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And then you said you wanted to start like at the beginning. Is that, you mean like the kitchen thing, or how far back do you want me to go?
Well, I do want to just point out one more thing. That we've talked about in the past, and it's about what you're doing now. It's that you have found that women are actually better at being carpenters than men.
Right. That's going to trigger some people.
Well, it triggers me. That makes me excited.
Okay. I think a lot of people think that men are inherently better at this stuff than women. And I'm happily married. I love men, so I'm not against men at all. My husband's an electrician. He's incredibly talented, but I do feel that women are uniquely qualified to do a lot of this real fine finish work. And very few people realize what the huge opportunity there is for that. It's just, the field is basically wide open for them. We haven't talked about like competitive advantages yet, which is another thing I would do with a podcast is figure out what your competitive advantage is, what you do better than someone else or something that's unique. And so for me, being a carpenter, being female, was a really strong competitive advantage that I pushed on instead of, you know, most people think of it as a weakness. And I found a way to really brand myself as being a woman in the industry. And so I got a lot of attention for that. And I got a lot of, customers from that. So you can do the same thing with your podcast. You can figure out what's unique, like your angle is that you're a journalist, right? And not everybody in podcasting is. So that's your competitive advantage. So I would press hard on that if it was me. Jay might have something in her environmental thing that is unique to her that she could really bring out in the podcast. And that would be one suggestion as well, but we got off track there. So I'd see, what's the question? You just asked what, you know, that I feel women are uniquely qualified for that, but I think I answered that
one. I feel like you answered it. And also not only that they might be better at paying attention to like the details and the finish work, but also how rewarding it is mentally to work with your hands and to create something. Mm-hmm. That you can use.
Yeah, it's incredibly empowering. I mean, it's just incredibly empowering. Every time I felt low or unsure of myself or worried or anxious about, you know, all the normal stuff that we all feel as humans,
like
right?
Right now, and, while we're all trapped in our homes.
Exactly. I always had a very creative, healthy outlet that wasn't drugs or alcohol or eating, right? No, I've done those too, meaning drinking. But I'm just saying, like, I always had a very creative physical outlet that is just so good for mental health, I think, and creativity. It always gave me such a strong sense of self-esteem that could never be taken away from whether I was a mom or had kids or was married or like all those sort of other things. I just always really felt good about myself because I had this skill set that I could, you know, that was just mine. So I think very few women get to actually feel what that feels like. And I just want a lot more women to know what that feels like. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. Getting your hands dirty.
And she talks a lot about that on Remodel Your Life, but let's start at the beginning of your journey. In the podcasting world.
Yeah.
How did you get started? How did you start learning everything and incorporate your past marketing and business experience with what your skill set was?
Well, that was a long, fraught journey, let me tell you. It feels like 30 years ago, but it really was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. But I, as I said, I had written a book about kitchen remodeling, and it did not do what I wanted it to do. I'd spent a ton of money on it with the publisher and did all the right things and kind of got ripped off, basically, and they didn't deliver. And so I was very heartbroken from that, because I'd spent probably 3 years writing it, and it was kind of like my life's work. And so it was like I was at a real low spot. And I knew, so that combined with, I knew I wanted to retire at some point, like relatively like 50. So I had that in the back of my mind, and I was trying to think, I really want to make a bigger impact. And I had been listening to a few podcasts, and I thought they were incredible. I just loved the intimacy with the voice and the stories, and just, I just really fell in love with the concept of it. And so I started this when I was doing it. I bought a, I think I bought like a $300 program, and it just taught me enough that I could set up the equipment and enough that I could sort of start, and, you know, made every mistake in the book, and they all sounded absolutely horrible, and I almost quit. And then eventually I did a very small retreat. I'm trying to think of the person it was. It was in Florida, and it was my first live in-person event. And that really changed something for me. I got to be around other podcasters. I met a couple of people there that really were like, no, this is a great idea. Like, don't give up on this, right? You just barely started. So that gave me enough confidence to go back. I improved my equipment just a tiny bit. I got a better microphone. And that was the journey of me starting to really craft my episodes, really thinking through, hey, I do actually know something about marketing and my clients and my customers. How can I build an experience with my audio of like what I do in real life? So that's where I started to make the transition from what I knew day to day working with women. And I started thinking through, how could I tell those stories in an audio format? That was the switch for me, because then I got back to being really excited, right? Because I was excited about kitchens, right? I love kitchen remodeling. So then but it gave me a structure. And so then that helped me really create a format, I think, for the show, which I think you speak a lot about, creating a format, creating an outline. And so then your next question was, how do I combine that with the marketing? So then along the way, I was also learning this stuff about the online marketing world. So I started then really getting heavy into that, you know, bought a bunch of courses, did all the things that everybody else is doing. And I started to really put the pieces together with automation. And I started to learn how you can sell stuff automated through systems and software. And that was the combination for me. So then I practiced a bunch, failed a bunch, created a couple little DIY courses that didn't sell at all, made all the mistakes, spent way too much time and effort on video that didn't sell. So I had like probably so many little failures up front. And then eventually I figured out that I could do the smallest thing, but just solve a problem for someone. And that's when I made the combination of that combined with my podcast. So I know it's a long answer, but it was quite a journey. I mean, it was probably 5 years, because this was before Instagram. Okay. So, you know, 3 years ago, Instagram like really made a lot of things different. I mean, it was still there, but it wasn't like it is now. And there was a couple software packages that were not out then that I use now. And I was comparing myself to all the big people that had these huge sales funnels, these huge programs, and I couldn't replicate what they were doing. So it felt very discouraging. And so then I just kind of gave up on that. And I just sort of figured out my own little method myself. I just figured out how to do these small little funnels attached to my podcast with small little products. And then they started selling. And once you start making money and you figure out how to create an offer that someone wants to buy, then you start to actually learn what works for you. So for me, that was probably a different journey than what other people did. And again, I leaned heavily on the fact that I did know my customers in real life. And my struggle was, how do I translate that to an online experience? Whereas I think a lot of people now are trying to maybe create something only on the online world, right? But there's a lot more stuff available to people now than there was when I started. So I kind of did it the real rough and dirty way in the beginning. So That's another long, very long answer to one question.
That sounds like a great title for your next podcast episode, Rough and Dirty with Camille. Rough and Dirty. Comfortable talking about your first offer that like sold, like the first smallest thing that you came up with where you're like, hey, this is sticking and it surprised you?
Yes. My very first thing that I finally figured out how to make sell was how to use a spray gun. And that's when I know it's again, I was selling things within my industry. And so I knew my own pain points with power tools and kitchen remodeling, but I was thinking about it from my standpoint. I wasn't really thinking about it. Again, I'd already been in it for 25 years at that point, so I knew things well, right? I kind of forgot what it was like being a beginner. And so once I started to really think about, oh, what are their actual pain points? I'll stop using the word pain point. What is my customer struggling with right now? What is a need they have right now? One simple thing. When I first was starting, I was trying to do these big, huge programs like everybody else, and they're too complicated for most customers, right? And they take a lot to sell versus just one small problem that you can solve. And so my very first thing that I sell, that I still sell to this day, is how to use a spray gun for $27. And so it's basically just me teaching how to use a spray gun, because I know that most of my women that are on Pinterest, right, are trying to spray furniture and they're trying to spray cabinets and they're trying to spray their kids' desks and they're trying to, and if you don't even know how to operate a $20 spray gun, you're not going to be able to get it done. So that was the first thing that sold, and it sold like $40,000 worth. And I was like, wow. Wow. Right. Because I tapped into a pain point. They were already struggling. They didn't want to think about buying this huge, expensive thing that's complicated. They just wanted to know how to spray and get an even pattern, right? We call it a spray pattern, and it not run. And that's it. That's all they wanted to know. So then I started, when I figured that out, I started breaking a lot of the stuff that I was doing down into really small little classes, really small things that you could teach in like an hour or less than an hour. And so that's what I do now. I don't really create anything that you can't learn in an hour or less, relatively speaking, right? Not like how to become a lawyer, right? Again, you got to remember what I'm teaching is construction and finish work and, you know, how to plan a kitchen remodel. I mean, you can roughly learn that in an hour, you know.
So where do people find this stuff? Like if someone was trying to find like your product, how to use a spray gun, where would they find it?
Well, right now we're literally in the middle of redoing the homepage, but when it's up, we'll add that to the show notes. But I have four different brands and they're all kind of run the same way. They have a private podcast now associated with it, which we haven't talked about that yet. Did you know you can do private podcasts? And so that may be new to you. It may not be, but there's a lot of people that don't realize you can do that. And so, so now they have their private podcasts and you only get access to the podcast when you purchase the program, the course. And so that's like an audio experience that walks somebody through, you know, they can be learning, you know, the same thing through their ears, but yes, I will attach that to the show notes when it's done. Hopefully, literally next month. This will be the fifth iteration of this website.
So I am aware of private podcasts, but the first time you search for one on Apple, it kind of feels like you're like using the key to a secret garden. You're like, ooh, this is going somewhere that no one else can see, but I have the key.
Yes, but this is different because you can't actually search it. So mine are not, they're truly private. You have to purchase the program and get a username and password to get access. So it's new-ish. I mean, in the sense that I'm not saying somebody else hasn't done it, but it's made by Hello Audio. And so it's brand new. It's literally brand new software that lets you package your product and sell it as a private podcast, basically a private feed. So it's not that they haven't, it's not that they haven't been around, but you're right. If you knew where to look, you could find them. This is, it's not even listed on iTunes. You can't get access to it.
Okay. So I didn't know about Hello Audio, and I'm going to Google them, and I'm going to do some research and share that in the show notes of today's episode. So if people want to learn more, they can.
Yeah.
I was talking about, so I took a coaching session with someone, and they gave me their specific like code that I had to put into Apple Podcasts. And that brought up a podcast on Apple Podcasts. And I was tell me more about this.
Yeah, and that is private. Yeah, that is what's going to happen. It's just mine's going to, because my courses are through Teachable. Mine is attached to the book and the course, and then the private podcast through it'll be hosted on Hello Audio. It will no longer be hosted on iTunes. Does that make sense? But what you're talking about is the same thing. Like if you're a student of mine, you will be able to get a key that lets you get access to that podcast and put it on your phone, which is, it's an incredible way to learn. Like, when I was approached to be a part of that, one of the founding members, I was just like, this is genius. Like from a teaching standpoint, it's just an incredible way to learn, even though it is teaching power tools, which is hard because it's through your ears, but it's a companion, right? It's a complement to the other things that they're looking at. And so I think it's just very, I highly recommend it. I think it's going to be like take the world by storm, to be honest, as teachers. Yeah.
Cool. Good. So, I want to, also talk with you about what you had mentioned earlier, which was automation. Finding a way to automate your sales funnel so you don't feel like you're constantly engaged with different online applications and programs and social media updates. And so I like to call this comparison automation versus fly by the seat of your pants.
Genius.
Many of us might be fly by the seat of our pants type people. Genius. But how do we turn into people who have automation set up?
Right. Okay. So this is like one of my absolute favorite things that I learned how to do over many years. And I am still blown away by the fact that it actually makes money and that it's automated. It still makes me just as excited to this day as when I first figured out how to do it. So it is like my favorite part of the internet by far. It's my favorite part of this whole thing is automation. And so when I knew that I was going to be retiring and I knew that I was going to be starting Remodel Your Life podcast, which was not going to produce an income, and I knew I needed to transfer what I knew in real life to a way to make income online, I also knew that I did not want another business like my kitchen remodeling business, which was highly labor intensive, highly stressful, beautiful, wonderful, creative. But I mean, it was everything I did, right? To run a shop with 14 people. It was literally my life. And so I knew I wanted to do something different with the next 10 years. So I knew I needed to, I'd heard about automation. I'd heard about these amazing things you could do, but it was like magic to me. It was like completely invisible. Like I didn't believe it. This has to be a scam. And so that's what I thought in the beginning. And so it took a long time for me to really believe it and to learn how to do it. I was a true skeptic, I can tell you. But I really wanted it to work because I wanted my businesses to be completely automated. I did not. I'm an introvert and I don't like being on camera. So I knew from a marketing standpoint, I was not going to be comfortable constantly selling on camera, Facebook Lives, doing all the like traditional things that all the gurus are doing. I knew that was not going to be sustainable for me. So I really struggled to figure out the pieces to make it work for myself. And so what I ended up figuring out was a pretty simple system that is you need traffic. Some people already have huge audiences, right? I did not. So I pay for Facebook ads. That is my traffic. I send them to a specific offer that in my case is a pre-recorded webinar, a little workshop. And that little workshop is around again, the pain points. It's around me teaching something that I know my students are desperately want to know, right? That's the first thing. And then on top of that, I then send retargeted ads to those same people that watch that video. And then what happens is it triggers a series of emails that over a period of time, gently guide them into purchasing the course. And so that's the automation. It's quite simple and it can be complicated. You can add timers and different things like that. But for me, that's what's ended up working is I have, you know, there's lots of ways to create automation. But for me, I use ConvertKit for my email systems and it creates a series of email sequences, just means a series of emails that are timed that weaves a story and presses on those pain points. And in a good way, in a gentle way. And then for the people that it, you know, I've showed that I think it can work for them, they buy. And then the people that don't, I didn't spend a lot of time with them, right? It's all automated. So for me, the automation comes down to, I have a set of list building ads. So I have Facebook ads that I spend, you know, roughly a couple $100 to $1,000 a month, every month. They run in the background for all my businesses all the time. That sends me traffic to all four companies to four different webinars that then trigger a series of email sequences and then people purchase. That is my automated system. So, and I use Teachable is what I use for my courses. And I've used all of the others. I've used Kajabi. I had Kajabi for 3 or 4 years. I've used all of them. I found, for simplicity's sake of making a course, Teachable is the fastest for me. And it's easiest to just create a buy button and attach it to an email sequence. So for me, that's what I've ended up falling on is Teachable. And then I use ConvertKit for my email, which is automated. What else do I use? I use Deadline Funnel for my timer, and which just means when someone hits a page, it starts a timer, right? And it adds a little bit of emotional pressure. I know this is a very long answer, but I didn't used to have that. I started using that about 2 years ago and it like doubled all my sales. And the reason is very simple human behavior, whether you want to believe it or not, when there's a time pressure there, you'll purchase or you won't faster. It's just that simple. So we all do it, right? If you think something's going to run out, if you really want it, you buy it then. So,
fear of loss, it's like makes your heart beat faster.
My stuff's all low level stuff, you know, $27, $47, $97. I think my highest price thing is $249. So none of my courses are expensive to begin with. They solve a very specific problem for very specific people. So from a marketing standpoint, it's very straightforward what I'm looking for. And, ConvertKit is probably the biggest thing I learned when I learned how to use a triggered email that starts a series of emails. That was probably the biggest shift for me. That would be the first thing I would always tell someone to learn, to be honest, because when you learn how to get somebody's email and then you put them into a sequence, that is selling for you in the background all the time. And it's the simplest first automation that you should do.
So how did you learn how to do all of this stuff? Because,
oh, struggle. Let me tell you, it was a nightmare. No, it was horrible. That's why, you know, now I have little coaching things that I kind of do on the side just to sort of help people that I really like. And that's the whole reason I do that is because I remember it was an absolute nightmare trying to learn that stuff. They don't do a good job of selling it and teaching it. They still don't. I love the company, but man, they do not know how to teach it to beginners. I can just tell you that. So it was a real struggle. Again, there was no internet or no Instagram. So it was harder to find people that were good back then. So I couldn't find someone to teach it to me. And you know, they had people that were like coaches that were charged like, you know, $5,000 to help you set up one sales page and one little series of emails. Well, I wasn't going to do that. Like, that's ridiculous, right? And so I just stumbled around for like 2 years to figure out how to create an email sequence and attach it to a form. And then how do I make that form actually work? Like, it literally took me 2 years. Now I just teach anybody that wants to know. I'm like, as you know, I've taught you, like, here's how it works, right?
Yeah. And for anyone wondering what a form is, that's any time when you are on the internet and something like pops up asking you for your email. address, your name and email. That's a form.
That's the start of the funnel. That's typically the start of the journey, right? That your customer is going to go through. And yes, we all hate them. We all say we don't like them, but they run the internet and they are an entire world that you do not know is going on behind the scenes. And that's the, you know, there's lots of ways to get people's emails. Now so to go backwards, that's why I do. So I actually forgot. I have two strategies. I have a two for now. This has just happened probably in the last 3 years. I figured out that two of my biggest pain points were two free mini classes that I now offer. So I didn't used to do that. I only had paid things and I only had, you could sign up on an email list, right? Now my strategy is twofold. I have a webinar they can watch and they do not have to give me their email address to watch that. Okay. So that's one strategy, but I retarget them with Facebook ads and it's attached to a timer. So they, if they're interested, they're going to buy. If they're not, no big deal. But the two free mini workshops, they have to give me their email to get those free classes. That was genius. When I started doing that, let me tell you, because I also hated the pop-up, right? I didn't like having to do that. I couldn't think of a better way. But when someone showed me, I saw them doing some free classes. And because Teachable lets you do free workshops, I created two free mini workshops in Teachable. And then in order to get access to them, they just have to give me their email address. So that's a lead magnet. That's also a form, right? But they're really getting a free class. So that would be something that you, the podcasters listening, could do very easily. Create some free little class and have that be the front of your funnel. They still have to give an email, but it's not the same feeling as just a pop-up, right?
Yeah. And go ahead.
And then that triggers a series of emails to sell either the bigger version of that class or like, for instance, mine. So people, I think it's helpful to have examples. I have how to use a tape measure. Okay. Because this, again, my target market is women, women that are absolute beginners, not women that are already comfortable, women that already know what they're doing. This is based on women that I know that don't know how to use a tape measure. So how to use a tape measure and how to use a stud finder to find studs in your walls to hang shelves and pictures and mirrors. Those are two of the biggest pain points that my female students had outside of using a spray gun. Okay. That stops them from learning crafts and projects. So those are my two free classes. And then that leads into my actual power tool class. So you guys could do the same thing. You could have a very small, easy under, I think both classes are maybe 15 minutes long. Me just teaching them how to use a tape measure. You guys can be like, you know, how to make like the environmental lady, like how to, you know, what are 10 steps you can do in under an hour in your kitchen to save the environment, right? Or, right, like what are three things you can remove from your kitchen that will 10x your carbon footprint or whatever, like some language that they need to hear. And she teaches that little class. They're now on her email list. And then you just automate that email so that it sells them into something else. That's automation.
Everyone who's listening, if you have a podcast, Camille right now is literally giving you the keys to the kingdom of how to turn your podcast into a business. And I just, so many people are not as generous as you are when it comes to sharing all of this information with people. If people wanted to work with you, can they? Or you've got this big summit coming up. I know it's more targeted towards your audience, but do you mind sharing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a virtual summit called Build Your Craft, and it's targeted towards two groups of women that listen to my podcast. One is actual women in the trades who run a business and have a skill, but maybe don't have the business background behind it. They're really good at their skill, but they're not making as much money as they could, as I know they could make. So helping them learn how to market their business with modern marketing techniques, like kind of like what I'm talking about now. And then I have another group is like just women that want to get into the trades, right? Like, how do you do that? So I have this event and where we have over 30 people speaking at it. Christine's going to be speaking at it as well about like all the things that you can do to either improve your business or make money in the trades and, or just get in the trades. And, It's October 24th, 25th. I know Christine's got the link to join up. It's free, completely free to join up. We're not selling you absolutely anything. Unlike most virtual summits, we are not selling you anything. And there's two $500 gift tool and merchandise giveaways that someone's going to win. And so two of the classes that I personally will be teaching, which are for woodworkers, but it's the same thing, is I'm going to teach how to set up a ConvertKit sales funnel. I'm going to do that live for free. And then how to create a teachable course. So I'll be showing the basics of like how to do that. Just to kind of go over like, you know, how I've done that. It'll be a little bit beyond the scope to show how to connect the dots with that from an automation standpoint. But if someone wants to just watch, they will get the sense of it from the ConvertKit seminar, because I can really show them what is driving the automation, right? So they can certainly go to that for free. It will be sort of targeted towards woodworkers, but they can still learn. And then I do coaching on the side, because I've had so many people, you know, approach me, and it does take time, right, to help set somebody up. But I do three things mostly, which I think Christine already knows, but I have a $500, like create a business, like business development package. And we figure out your business model and what you're going to sell and how much you're going to sell it to and who you're going to sell it to. Then I have a $500 one for ConvertKit. So we set up three email funnels for you, and I teach you how to use the software so you can do it for yourself. And then I have a $500 one around Teachable. So how to create two Teachable courses, and I teach you the software. So not just the courses, but how to use it for yourself going forward. Because this is not my main business, right? I'm not interested in people just constantly having to come back to me. I want them to really, you know how to integrate this with their podcasts or their businesses. Because I feel like everybody should be doing this.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
What is your goal with your business right now?
With the Remodel Your Life one?
Yeah.
Because I have multiples. So,
well, or just like your goal for your life. Where do you picture yourself in 5 years?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I would like to get the Remodel Your Life podcast to a much bigger platform so that it's actually in front of the people I want us to be in front of. You know, we're fairly small now. So just to really leverage that, which is, you know, part of the reason I'm doing this summit is to just get to a broader audience, people that maybe have never even heard of this type of stuff. And it would be nice to be maybe like on a speaking circuit a little bit about women and empowerment and some of these alternative ways of, you know, making a living. So maybe getting that in front of groups of women, other female entrepreneurs. That's pretty much it. I mean, the other businesses are running. I'm very excited to see how the private podcasting thing takes off. I think that's going to be a big difference in the industry. So I'm actually kind of excited to see what happens with that. I only have three licenses right now. I purchased three licenses, but I'm pretty excited about that. I could see doing something else. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but
that's my in-person summit with lots of wine.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You're right. That is on the books. That is on the books for next year. I definitely want to do something in like an in-person retreat. Because as you know, it's so fun to teach this stuff. And when you kind of show somebody what it can do, they're just like blown away. So it would be so fun to do that in person, like over a weekend, and set up a bunch of sales funnels for people. And it's just like, you just turn them on and they're like, they're running and you're just like, that's incredible. Right. And wine and food and laughter. So those would be my goals, I'd say, in the next couple of years.
Wonderful. So if people want to find out more right now about you and everything, where do they go?
So on Instagram, it's at Remodel Your Life Podcast and remodelyourlifepodcast.net or .com. And then my email is still my regular email, Camille_L@sbcglobal.net. Those are basically it.
Camille's phone number is
it's on there. They can see it. It doesn't bother me. They can contact me or DM me. I've helped, you know, a lot of people just on the background, and I'm more than willing to help even just for free, just to sort of give you a little guidance and sort of direction. If you, you know, aren't ready to invest, I'm more than willing to have a conversation and just help in any way I can. So, cause I really remember like the struggle was so hard for so long, and I just would hate to see somebody have to replicate that again. So I don't want anybody to have to try to figure out ConvertKit on their own, to be honest.
Camille helped me with ConvertKit, and I was struggling hard before Camille came into my life. So thank you for that, Camille.
Yeah. Yeah.
check out her website, guys. Check out her podcast. It's so great. And Camille, thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome. I loved it.
Great. Me too. I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.